The Bible is very clear. If you will notice with me, we'll read that prayer together. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14, where Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit," and here's our phrase, "in the inner man." He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. And I pray, God, that you would help me to be a blessing and a help to your people tonight. Teach us some things that would help us in our daily walk with you. Help us to honor you with our lives and everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do. Help us to do all to the glory of God. Help us to do what we do heartily as unto the Lord. Be our helper, be our teacher. In this hour we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll remember last week, we talked a little bit about the humility of the prayer where Paul said, "I bow my knees unto the Father." And then we kind of got over into verse number 16 through 19, and we talked about four that's. And we looked at the one. And then toward the end, in verse number 16, where he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, we kind of left off there, and so that's where I want to pick up. And I want to talk to you about your spirit man. I think a lot of us are in tune with our stomach. We certainly are in tune with that. When our stomach calls, we eat. I think a lot of us are in tune with our bodies. When our bodies crave rest, we rest. But I don't know if too many people are in tune with their spirit, and I want to talk to you about you as a spiritual being and how the Bible says that we ought to handle that. See, I don't even exercise physically as I should. And how many of you exercise physically as you should? Raise your hand. Okay, we've got a couple of people willing to go out on that branch. So I wonder if we exercise spiritually as we should. I want to ask you to turn to some scripture. But before I do, I want to get you to look at that phrase again. He's saying, "I'm asking that you'd be strengthened with might by his Spirit, not in your body." I think a lot of times when we have prayer, and there's nothing wrong with this, we pray that God would strengthen people in their body. And certainly when people are sick and they're weak and when they're low in their physical being, they need God to strengthen them and to help them. So there's nothing wrong with that. However, we don't hear a whole lot of prayer requests about praying for people spiritually to be strengthened with God's might by his Spirit. In the inner man, in their spirit, to be encouraged and to be strengthened. How does that happen, and what can we do to work toward that happening? Well, let's look at some scripture, first of all, to see that God does expect us to do it. So I want you to turn, if you would, first of all, to 1 Timothy. Turn there, if you would, to 1 Timothy. We'll look at just a couple of scriptures to see where the Bible says that we are to exercise ourselves spiritually. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy. If you'll turn there, 1 Timothy. Look at verse number 7. Paul writing to Timothy said, "But refuse profane and unwise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So we are to exercise our spiritual man. Now look, if you would, in verse number 8. "For bodily exercise," this lets me know he's not talking about the body, he's talking about the spirit. He said, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." And I like what a man said many years ago, "Since it profits a little, I'm just going to do it a little." Amen. "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, if you will exercise yourself spiritually, you'll not only profit in this life, but you will profit in the life to come. Now turn to the book of Hebrews, and we'll see another reference to exercising ourselves spiritually, and then we'll take a look at some of our spiritual faculties and how we can exercise. You know, a lot of times when a person, you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, if you would, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. A lot of times when you're talking about maybe going to a gym or you're going to start exercising at your home, you say, okay, this is my regimen. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do these exercises. And you have it set up, and then each one of them, you know, operates a muscle group, right? You know, I'm going to do this for my upper body or my abs or my lower body or my brain. No, you don't exercise your brain. Well, you should, but we don't too much. But so, you know, you have a regimen. You don't just go there and just do what you feel like doing. You should have a regimen so that you can see that your entire body is getting the exercise that it needs. In chapter number 5 of the book of Hebrews, Paul is writing, and he's saying this, and I believe what he's saying is, you know, you folks are dull. He mentioned it in verse number 11. He said, of whom, chapter 5, verse 11 of Hebrews, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. In other words, it's some pretty deep stuff. All right, there's some depth to what I'd like to talk to you about. But I can't do it. And here's why. He said, because you are dull of hearing. In other words, you're not, your senses, your spiritual senses are not to the capacity to where you could take what I would like to teach you right now. And so he said this in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or the sayings or the writings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now we know this is, again, this is talking about the spiritual. Paul's not talking about drinking milk or eating a steak physically. He's talking about the Word of God. And that there comes a time in our lives that we have to get off the milk and go to the manna and get into some meat and get into some things that God has for us. But in order to do that, we have to exercise ourselves. And notice what he said following that in verse number 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now this, again, this is not talking about physical. This is talking about your spiritual. And he said you need to be exercising your spiritual being. You need to be exercising your spiritual man. It's certainly good to exercise your physical man, but you need to exercise your spiritual man. He said if you're just doing it on bare rationings, milk, then you're unskillful in the word. That's what he said in verse number 13. Now, it's not that milk doesn't matter. All right? He said, you're a babe. You're a babe, if that's all it is. Then he said in verse number 14, but strong milk belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, now watch this phrase, who by reason of use, you see that? Look at it. Who by reason of use, it just doesn't happen. So, well, I'm going to go to church three times a week, and I'm going to be spiritually exercised. No, you're not. Listen, I'm thankful for people who are faithful to church. I believe you ought to be faithful to church. I am strong local church, strong local church. I believe you ought to be faithful to your local church. But that's not going to get you the exercise that you need to grow as a Christian. He said in verse number 14, who by reason of use, watch this phrase now, have their senses. What senses? Their spiritual senses. You're a spiritual being. We have spiritual senses. And I'm going to show you in the Bible how the Bible addresses them and how you can be aware of them and what I can do and what you can do in order to feed our spiritual man and to exercise our spiritual being so we can grow spiritually. And so he said, you have your spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here's what happens. A person gets saved, and they start coming to church, and they read their Bible a little bit, and they learn a little bit, and they think, well, man, I got this thing. Well, you haven't learned how to discern both good and evil. You think, I'm good. I've got this. And the devil's setting you up. And so 5 years from now, you're still drinking milk. You're still on the same diet that you had when you first got saved. 5 years from now, if that much. Most people go backwards. Most people get saved and they're so excited about being saved. They read their Bible every night. They witness to people. They pray. They tithe. They attend church. And then after about 3 to 5 years, they back off a little bit because they think, I've got this. And so they don't do as much after the third, fourth, fifth year as they did the first year that they got saved. So what are they doing? They're backsliding. But they're doing it in a comfortable environment called church and Christian fellowship. And they think, hey, this is it. I've got this. You don't know what you're missing out on. I haven't arrived. But I'm thankful that I didn't stop growing as a Christian after the third, fourth, or fifth year of my Christian experience. And I don't want you to. I'm not saying that you have. I'm just saying that we are spiritual beings. And we have to keep up our spiritual senses. We have to keep them honed in to what God is saying, to follow God's direction, to know what God's will for our life is, to be in tune with when God speaks and when God moves so that we can follow after Him and not the voice of the enemy. And so He said, again, look at verse 14, and then we're going to turn to some scripture, some other scripture. He said, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Got to exercise. That's what that word is. You're going to have to use your spiritual man. You can't just allow your spiritual man to grow lazy. Now, if you've ever done any type of physical exercise, you know what it is about time that it's time to do some exercise. You know what happens, right? There's this strong urging to put it off. There's a strong urging to put it off. Or there's a strong urging, well, you know what? I've already exercised it this month. You know, or whatever. I've already done that. And boy, things will start coming up and we find excuses. Same way with the spiritual. Same way with the spiritual. Right? We face the same battles. Same battles. And so he said, you need to use your spiritual senses and to exercise them so that you can grow in your discernment. In your discernment as a believer. Now I want you to turn with me and I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture to let's identify our spiritual senses, and then I'll talk with you about how you can use them or exercise them. And we pray the Lord help us to do that. Psalm 34. Turn there if you would to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And if this is all we get, then this is all we get tonight. But I want you to understand that. All right? The Bible says in Psalm 34, if you'll turn there in verse number 8, Psalm 34, verse number 8, the Bible says that we have the spiritual sense, our spiritual man can taste things. So I don't taste anything spiritually. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Now listen to me. Jesus said, now a lot of people read right over this and they think, well, that's not talking about us tasting it, is it? Well, you listen and see. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone. You taste bread when you eat it? Some of the sweetest stuff ever touch your lips is some good homemade bread. Say amen with me now. I'm telling you right now, somebody knows how to make homemade bread, you could get sick eating it. Not this bad. You just eat it till you get sick. That's some good stuff. It's loaded in carbs. That's why everything great is not good for you. I don't understand that. Homemade bread. That's good stuff. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what's Jesus teaching there? It's not hard. You have a spiritual man. And just like you eat bread, and you taste that bread, and it's good, and it gives you strength, then you're going to have to taste some things from the Word of God and get some strength from it. Notice what Psalm 34, verse 8 says. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted? Can I tell you that the Bible says in the Psalms that God's Word is sweeter than honey than the honeycomb? sweet God's word is. When you taste God's word, is it sweet to you? Is it? You know, it's amazing. We have to make ourselves not eat physical food and make ourselves eat spiritual food. You know, and that's something that can happen to us. You know, so, well, I'm going to fast. And so I have to make myself just not eat physical food in case we're sick. And yet, when it comes to spiritual food, we have to almost discipline. And that's what that word, when Paul was writing Timothy, godliness, you know, it talks about the discipline of godliness. You have to discipline yourself to stay in the Word of God. So your spiritual man has a palate, and we need to make sure that we're feeding our spiritual man the right things, the right kind of music. Don't feed your spiritual man ungodly, worldly, or carnal, contemporary Christian music. You will have a sour palate. A sour palate. I tell you what you'll do. You'll begin when you hear the hymns and the psalms and the spiritual songs. They won't be the same to you. Why? Because you developed a taste spiritually for something that's no good. No good. So I'm going to do it anyway. Well, now that's up to you. I can't make you do anything. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you have a spiritual palate. And you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Not the world. Not the flesh. But that the Lord is good. So, well, I'm going to read some of these contemporary writings, and I get a feel good. I told you last week how that there's these churches that are saying, we're going through Rick Warren's book, The Saddleback Church, The Purpose-Driven Life. I'm not interested in going through Rick Warren's book. I'm going through this book. I want my palate to be right here. And so, taste. How's your spiritual man? Taste. You ought to have a spiritual taste. You ought to accept nothing less than the pure, unadulterated Word of God when a man stands up to preach. Ought not be watered down. You know, there's one thing I can't stand. We do it. We did it for our children, and we do it for little Liam sometimes. We'll water down his tea. I don't like watered down food and drink. You know, might be a little too strong, but I don't water mine down. Amen. My physical food or my spiritual food. Don't water it down. Just tell me what God said. Amen. So, taste. What else? Well, turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the Bible talks about seed. We have spiritual taste, but we have spiritual sight. Psalm 119, turn there if you would. Psalm 119, verse 18. Now, there's many, many scriptures on all of these, but I've just chosen one for sake of time. Okay? There's many scriptures on spiritual taste. There's many scriptures on spiritual sight. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Is that going to help us physically? No, he's talking about my spiritual eyes. Remember when we looked Ephesians, where he said, the eyes of thy understanding being enlightened. We have, our spiritual man has taste, but our spiritual man also has sight. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. It goes along with what we read in the book of Hebrews. It goes along with discernment. Do you know God will show some things to people who want to see them? The secret things belong to those who are willing to love the Lord and obey the Lord. That's what the Scripture teaches. God shows things to people. There's some people walking around, they have no clue what's going on. No clue. Why? Because their spiritual eyes are about dim, about shut. You've got to work on that. How do you work on keeping your spiritual eyes open, preacher? Well, look what the psalmist said here. He said, stay in God's Word. He'll give you discernment. Your spiritual eyes will be wide open. You'll be in the know. That's what the old timers used to call it. They said, listen,
As Christians, we're in the know.
What do you mean in the know? This is the know right here. God knows. You want to be in the know? Know this book right here. I'm amazed that folks been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years. They couldn't carry on a spiritual conversation with you if their life depended on it. You know why? They spend no time in this book. No time in this book. Now, they could name every player on their favorite football team for the last 20 years. No, I'm not throwing off on football now. I watch football. But what I'm saying is sometimes we get our priorities mixed up. You see, it's all about our physical man. It's all about our emotional man. And it's not about our spiritual man. And we need to make it that. And so Paul, when he was praying, said, I'm praying that God would strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, God does it, but we have to work and allow God to do that. So what do? Well, we spend time in His Word. Oh, taste and see. And then he said right here in verse number 18 of Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes. God, I want discernment. Pray and ask God to give you discernment. I think it was D.L. Moody that said, I used to pray and then read my Bible, but now I pray while I read my Bible. When God shows me something, I pray, God, help me to do that. You know, I think some folks, and if we're not careful, it can happen to us, brethren. When we hear truth, we think we can pick and choose. God's not going to honor that. We don't get to pick and choose what we're going to take from God's Word. When God shows us something, He expects immediate and complete obedience. Is that right, brethren? Did you know God will withhold from you? God will withhold from me if I take that attitude toward His Word? Well, I'm not going to do what God says. Why? I don't want to. Well, then God says, well, I'm not going to show you anymore until you get that matter settled. And then we'll go forward from here. So that's Psalm 119. Talked about spiritual sight. Turn, if you would, to Revelation. The Revelation. And we talked about this just a little bit Sunday night. And it's all through the Scripture again. But in Revelation chapter number 2, the Bible talks about spiritual ears. Jesus said, He said to every church now, every church of those seven churches, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Got to have spiritual ears. Your spirit man, my spirit man, has ears. We need to hear what God is saying. I was talking with somebody this week and I appreciated what they told me. They said, you know, God's talking to me. That's a good sign. When someone tells you they get saved, and in the course of conversation they begin to relay to you, God is talking to me. That's a good sign. When God quits talking to you, something's not right. Something's not right. Can I ask you a question? Does God still talk to you? Does He? You say, well, I'm not sure He ever started. That's not what John 10:27 said. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. God's talking to His sheep. Are you listening? I pray that you are. The more you listen, the more God talks, the louder and clearer you hear Him. Amen. See, your spirit man has ears. Listen to that still small voice. When God speaks to you, obey it. Right? When God says do something, do it. And then God will give you further instructions. God will give me further instructions. But now when we cease to do what God says, there's no guarantee that God's going to give us further instructions until the ones that He's already given us have been complied with. Now I'm telling you what the Bible says because I want to help you. I want to help you grow. I want you to get in touch with your spiritual man. I think sometimes we just think, oh no, that the spirit man is the physical man. No, it's not. Paul said, I'm praying that your whole body, soul, and spirit be blameless before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I fear that we're giving a lot of attention to our bodies and our minds, but not a whole lot of attention and work to our spirits. And I pray that you would become more, and I would become more. So Revelation chapter number 2, I'll just give you one of them, but sometime if you'd like, it's in verse number 7, chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, what kind of ear? A spiritual ear. How do you know? Because he said, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Amen? You see, sometimes when
That's why folks that are ignorant to God's word, when you say God spoke to me, they think that you mean that He spoke to them like I'm speaking to you. God speaks to your spiritual man. Amen? Spiritual ears, you have them. We need to keep them in tune with the voice of God. Then if you would turn to Acts 17, 27. This is one that some people may have a little trouble with, but I don't think you will. I think you'll just take it because it's God's word. Sometimes we talk about, well, you know, preacher, we don't want to go on feeling. Well, I'm glad, listen, when I got saved by faith and not by feeling, but now I do feel something. When God gets around, you feel something. Amen. You feel something when the devil gets around too. Right? But I'm talking about a spiritual feeling. The presence of God. Acts 17, are you there? Acts 17, 27. Acts 17, 27 says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You feel the Lord? You feel the Lord? Sometimes God makes His presence so real and so strong that it's undeniable, because our spirit man can sense and feel the presence of God. It's real. It's real. Sometimes when you're in a service, now God's always there whether you feel Him or not. But sometimes God makes it so clear, I'm here. That's one of the greatest things that God can do for anyone, is to let us know, I'm here. I'm making my presence aware to you. It's an awesome thing, brethren. So we have spiritual, our spiritual man has feeling. That's what the scripture, it teaches that. He said it, look at it again, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him. He's trying to feel a spirit. No, you're not talking about touching Him with your hands. It's talking about sensing the presence of God in your being, in your spirit. Then finally, Matthew 4, we talked about this one, Matthew 4, feeding. You feed. Matthew 4, verse 4. This is the temptation where Jesus said in verse number 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to be feeding on God's word. Tasting God's word. Taking in God's word. You know something else your spirit man needs? Now, I hope some of you did this before you came to church tonight, and if you didn't, I hope you'll do it when you get home. Some of you may have came straight in from work, and I commend that. I think it's great. Do you know your spiritual man and my spiritual man needs a bath? Yeah. Yeah. Psalm 51, turn there if you would. David talked about cleansing on the inner parts. The inward parts need cleansing. When John wrote in 1 John, as you turn into Psalm 51, John wrote in that scripture that we quote quite often, and many have memorized it, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is that, our body? No. It's our spirit. Our spirit needs cleansing. Psalm 51, David, I think it's in Psalm 51, I think it's in verse number 7, where David, after the sin with Bathsheba, made this statement. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Where at? The flesh? No. The inward man. We need cleansing. We need feeding. We need exercising. We need to taste. Our spiritual man, we need to care for him. And I think the reason that a lot of Christians kind of wander aimlessly through their Christian life is they just treat their salvation as it's just a a physical thing. I'm getting ready to disappoint some folks, but I'm going to do it in Christian love. Your body's not saved. God gave up on the flesh in the Garden of Eden, brethren. Your body and my body is not redeemed. We're waiting, Paul wrote in Romans 8, we're waiting for the redemption of these old bodies. It's going to take place. It is. I thought Brother Imboden, Matthew Imboden, done a tremendous job expounding that truth to us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 a couple of Sunday nights ago. And so, please don't think when you got saved that your body got saved. And if you're trying to approach your Christian life that way, you're not going to do very well. Your body is a vehicle for your spirit, for my spirit. And we need to spend time exercising our spiritual man. Pray. Worship. You know, worship is a feel thing, isn't it? Our spiritual man. When I worship, I feel and sense the presence of God. So I don't want to get too much in feelings. I like to sense the presence of God. I like it when God makes himself very real. Wherever I'm at, worshiping. Could be in the church, could be in my home. Wherever I'm at, and God's presence is real to me, I'm glad I get to sense that presence in my inner man. So when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and he said, look, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that you might be strengthened by might in the inner man by God's Spirit. He's talking about our spirit. And then he went on down in verse number 18 of chapter 3 and he said, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So we have a spiritual being and we need to tend to our spirit being. Reading the scripture, worshiping, praying, confessing, hiding scripture, meditating. Meditating upon God's word is a wonderful spiritual exercise that very few Christians engage in. We're such busy people. And I pray that God would help me and God would help you, that we would slow down and really give some attention to our spirit man. It's important. It truly is. I fear that there's a lot of Christians, maybe not here tonight, but throughout our nation and throughout the world, who really don't give a thought that I'm a spiritual being. That's all of you that got saved. That's all that got saved. And so if you want to maintain a good, strong fellowship with God, you're going to have to exercise your spiritual man. Let's all stand, and I want to give you some things that I would like to challenge you to do. Number one, confess your sin when you commit it. For years of my Christian life, I ignorantly waited until the end of the day to confess my sin. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I wasn't. Right when you sin against God, confess your sin so that that broken fellowship can be restored immediately, because God has promised to restore broken fellowship when acknowledgement and confession is made. Number two, spend time in God's Word every day. I can't tell you how much time. I can't tell you how many chapters you ought to read. I can't tell you how many minutes you ought to spend in God's Word. But every Christian ought to feed their spiritual man God's manna, God's meat, God's milk every day. We ought to feast upon the honey of God's Word every day. Every day. Number three, you ought to pray every day. Commune with God, that you might sense His presence. Worship Him. Worship Him. As we pray and as we worship God, God strengthens us in the inner man. Attend worship on a regular basis, and many of you do. Don't quit that. Come to worship. The Bible says that coming together and assembling ourselves together is great for our spiritual man. Pray for wisdom and discernment, that God will grow you spiritually now. Spiritually, when we talk about growing in the Lord, spiritually, that there would be growth. And then finally, you ought to keep some kind of journal. You ought to keep some kind of something to chart your growth. Remember when you were growing up and your parents, many of your parents would chart your growth?
You know, you would grow out of your shoes, you'd grow out of your clothes, and you were growing. It was a great thing to see you growing. If you wasn't growing, parents got concerned. You ought to chart your spiritual growth. Are you further ahead in your spiritual life now than you were 2 years ago, 5 years ago? Or are you just kind of leveled off, or maybe even going backwards? So I want to encourage you. Give attention to your spiritual man. All right, let's bow our heads together.